You are listening to Wicked Psychotherapists, a podcast where two psychotherapists show you that taking care of and learning about mental health doesn't have to be wicked hard.
Hi, everyone. This is Tanya.
And this is Erin.
Welcome back to the Wicked Psychotherapists. And if you're new here, then welcome. Let's check up. Let's see where we're at because it's been a little while. Let's see what's going on. So has there been anything new in your world go on in this, what we're in August now? What's been happening?
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks, hasn't it? School already started. And so that's been busy. Just been busy with that. And I don't know, it's super hot. I know I always give you the heat. But yep. It has been really hot. I always keep track of the New England temperature since I'm from there and I have family still there and friends. And you guys are not so hot right now. So that's...
Yeah, how have you been?
What has been going on with you?
I would actually say for me, it has been hot. Like, I know I've lived in Florida, but the mugginess has been horrendous because we've been getting a lot of rain. And the mugginess has been a misery like no other for me personally. I'm just going to speak for myself. And the bugs have come from the depths of hell to just arise and attack. But I mean, other than that, things have been moving along pretty well. My husband and I are preparing for a trip we got coming up. Nice. Going to Portugal and Spain, and we're going to have some trips and stuff. So I'm excited about that, excited to get away. But we've just been doing that. I went to see, I don't know if you've seen this yet. Have you seen Oppenheimer?
No, I haven't, but I have heard it's pretty good.
It is stellar. It's amazing.
Really?
Yes. And we went and saw it in one of those like IMAX theaters, I guess.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of the way it's supposed to be because that's the way it was filmed or something. I don't really understand all that stuff, but it was like you could feel all of the, not only the emotions, but when the A-bomb went off, when they were testing it.
Scary.
I don't think that's a spoiler for anyone, but
I think most people know that's what it's about.
Yeah. But it was just so great. It left me with a lot of chills, a lot of like just oof for humanity. But it was a really amazing story. So I love that. I also saw Barbie last weekend and that was pretty cool too. Both fun in the realm just to see. So yeah, that's what we've been doing. So should we get into today's topic?
Sure. Why not?
We've been noticing that some people have been asking us questions through our socials, right? Through the social media. And we thought it would be fun to answer some of them, kind of the most commonly asked questions, and get to know us a little bit better. So today we're going to be doing a little bit of a Q&A, question and answer. Anybody doesn't know that by now, that kind of format, which I'm sure everybody does. We compiled a list of questions that were most commonly asked, and we're just going to give you our answers for it. Just honest, straightforward. We haven't done much preparation for this because we wanted to just kind of, you know, we did prepare for it, but for the episode, but, you know, in terms of the answers.
We're even talking about it. It's like, wait a minute, I didn't prepare for this, but that's what we should, you know, we want the answers to be authentic.
Yeah. Spontaneous. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good point.
So let's go. So here are some of the questions that keep coming up. Let's get into it. I'm going to start. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, Tanya.
Okay.
Welcome. The first question that we saw come up is, what made you become a therapist?
Oh, the age old question. Okay. What made me become a therapist? Okay. Well, I'm very interested to hear yours as well. So I'm going to be asking you this back. But I think we know each other's answers, but I think this is kind of an interesting question because I think I, just to get a little personal, I had a therapist when I was in college who really helped me turn around my entire worldview, helped me with a lot of issues I was experiencing. It was the first time I'd ever been to therapy, and it was something that was a complete and utter just emotional makeover for myself. It really changed my life, and coming from a pretty traumatic background and making sense of that and not blaming myself fully anymore for that, recognizing patterns I could start to work on and taking more control, I started to realize that this was something monumental and I wanted to be able to help other people in that way. It was something that really turned my life down a different path and I just wanted to have that. I always knew I wanted to be in a helping position, but I thought, wow, this is something that I can do He also really likes psychology and getting to know reasons and meaning behind people's behaviors. I think it's fascinating. And I actually majored in anthropology as an undergrad, and that is the study of cultures and people and on the macro level. But I, as a fairly introverted person, I would say, you know, and someone who gets a little overwhelmed with kind of too much, I liked the scale of one-on-one or kind of small groups. So I thought therapy really fit into that pretty well. So that was what started me on my journey towards becoming a therapist.
Oh, I was going to ask one more question about that. Did you switch from anthropology? Did you go straight? Did you decide right away that you wanted to become a therapist, or was that?
No, that's a good question. No, I didn't. I went and I worked in crisis shelters, kind of more social services type, you know, where I could kind of help out in terms of more from like a social work perspective, because I knew I wanted to be in the helping realm. I was trying to figure out what my focus would be. And I also got to work abroad in South Korea. I taught English. And so I loved the experience, but I thought I am not a person that can travel around and have a job like that, like an anthropologist. Kind of, I can't have that large scope, that figure. I need something smaller and manageable for myself. So after realizing kind of all that combination, it was probably a good 5 years in working in the field, social services, and then coming to those realizations that therapy is, that's how I came to be a psychotherapist.
I was going to ask one more. If you're glad you made the switch to become a therapist, because hearing you talk, it sounds like you're passionate about it.
I definitely am. I don't think that the other life was more of something that I truly wanted, but it's not what matches me as a person. This is what matches me as a person and how I can express passion and connection in that. I'm very happy that I did that. But I want to ask you, because I know you have a great answer to this as well, and to hear what made you become a therapist.
Hopefully I have a great answer. So I don't know.
You do.
Well, I probably have the stereotypical, like, you know, dysfunctional family. Mm-hmm. I did not know I always wanted to be a therapist. I was the person that switched my major probably 3 or 4 times. Mm-mm. Took a lot of gap years. Like every couple of years, I felt like I was taking another year off just to try to figure out what it was that I wanted to be. I thought I wanted to be a social worker, thought I wanted to become a behavioral therapist, you know, like just different things. Nursing for a little bit, then did many years in nonprofit, worked in that field and thought maybe I wanted to switch that, then realized that my heart was more helping, like you described, the one-on-one. And I always was very interested in psychology and figuring out why certain people act a certain way or why some family dynamics are a certain way. And just even within family units, why some people do certain things and other family members don't. And I did have a very dysfunctional family, and I had therapy my whole life since I was younger. And so I always had an appreciation for my therapist. And that is something that I'm really happy that I made the transition and decided to switch to psychology for my bachelor and then for counseling psychology for my master's. And it even took me a couple of years after I got my degree to commit to do it full time, because I was like, oh, I'm still going to have 1 foot in nonprofit, helping people in a different way, until I finally was like, you know what? I think doing it one, committing full time, I'm going to better serve myself and my clients.
For sure. For sure. And you found that that's been the case, the thing that really is that key to success in your career?
Yeah, definitely. I noticed when I made the full transition to call myself a therapist full time is when I noticed the shift in myself. And I actually feel like I became a better therapist, because I would do it at night or part time for a long time. And it was like I had two roles. I was this nonprofit worker and then a therapist. But now I'm fully a therapist and I'm really happy that this is the career I've chosen.
Yeah. So the focus on it was being able to really dive into it and say, okay, yeah, this really resonates with me. It aligns.
Definitely.
That's awesome. That's amazing. So you had a lot of exploration leading up to it, and it was really like a work of working towards what is my passion, as opposed to choosing something and saying, okay, make it work.
Yeah, definitely. And it was always, and the theme always seemed to be helping in the helping field. Do I want to do something medical? Do I want to be a nurse? Do I want to do behavioral therapy, help people with disabilities or autism? Or do I want to work in the nonprofit realm?
And
so it always was some form of helping. I always felt like, something's missing. So I'd always job hop or try to figure out what I wanted. My daughter always laughs. It's like, how many different jobs did you have? But I was always trying to explore, trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted until I was like, oh, this was what was missing. It was the becoming a therapist.
I think that's great. Sounds like you had to take this path to kind of trial and error and to say, I know it's over here somewhere. And it was like, you're getting warmer. And then you finally were like, this is it. I love that. I think that's great.
And I'm happy. And it's funny doing the podcast too with you. It definitely feels like this is what was missing. Another part of the therapy bubble. We get to be creative together.
Yeah. And be able to talk about it in a way that we don't normally get to with, you know, we can't sit there and be like, oh, this is my experience, you know, in sessions, you know, so
what about it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I want to talk.
It's nice for us to be able to speak about that. Well, that's great. I definitely can see some common themes with us. So we've got some stories, and I'm sure everybody's got their stories as to how they became therapists or, you know, what they decided to do. But we wanted to share that.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. Okay. It's another question I'm going to ask you first. You and I always mention animals. We both are animal lovers. I've heard you mention your dog, and people are curious about your dog, what type she is, who she is, and whatever you want to tell us about Lucy.
So Lucy is my baby. She is quite literally, she's my husband. And I, like, she's our child. We consider her that. She's my fur baby. And she is a sweet, very, very, still very traumatized doggy. She was a rescue doggy that we got. She was very, very timid, would just kind of sit in a corner and shake when we first got her. Still very afraid of people, like, or very cautious around them. But she's gotten a lot better. Almost 6 years we've had her. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful little creature. I tell her every day how much I love her, and she's my light, and she's my baby. And just watching her, taking her for trips every day and walks is seriously like the highlight of my day. But I did get a DNA test, one of those doggy DNA tests.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool that you did that.
I love that they have that. But I did find out we were told she was a lab mix. She has no lab in her, which I guess is apparently very common with, you know, they feel like lab is kind of a friendly way to sell dogs, but I don't care. She is my baby no matter what. And she is majority pit bull and like Staffordshire
bull,
I think, if I'm saying that right. Uh-huh. And blue tick coonhound, which is her south where she was from. And she's also got some cocker spaniel and the little like timidness and the tiny little ears and head. And she's got some German Shepherd, and like 5% is just Alaskan Malamute, like kind of mixture and all these things.
Wow. Yeah. Because I know you posted the picture on our Instagram for everyone to see. And I've seen pictures of her. I would not have pictured any. I thought for sure you were going to say Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. She doesn't have that kind of, I guess they have that really
the ridge. Like, her coloring almost looks like it.
Yeah. And she looks like a, I don't know if it was you or my husband that had guessed before we got the DNA test that she was like a Vizsla or something. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah. They're very pretty dogs. Like one. Yeah, very slender.
They're like the coloring and the timidness, and they're kind of socially awkward. So I was like, that's my Lucy, just like me. But so that's my baby Lucy. So I want to hear about, because you have quite a few pets. So I want to hear about yours.
I have a million pets. So I'll just go quick, but then I'll save Paige for last. We have a couple outside animals. We have four chickens and two ducks, and they all have little names. You know, like the ducks are Indian runner ducks. We have Hermione and Willow, and then Buffy, Fred, Prairie, and Adventure are the chickens.
And those names.
We have three cats. One is Siamese, and her name's Sierra. Then we have two black and white cats. One's Fratello, and one is Hazel. And then Paige is my dog. Paige is the one I talk about a lot. She's a Doberman. She has her natural ears, so she has flat, floppy ears. She just turned 11, and she's a very good girl. She always sits sleeping right now. She's always in the room with me, like when I have session or when I did podcasts, a little bed next to me. And she's just is the best dog. She's like best friends with my cat Fratello, and with the ducks and chickens, because she's a working breed. So she thinks it's her job to check on them when they're outside, you know, because they free range. So she checks on them. She whenever I go, like lately it's been so hot, so I'm always making sure they have enough water. She knows which tree they hide under. And so she's like, okay, they're over here. Let's bring them water. And the ducks, and they follow her around. It's really funny. And her and my cat, Fratello, sleep together. She's a good dog.
I love that.
She's a good dog, too.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like our podcast dog, and she's your therapy doggy. She's in the room with your clients.
She is.
I have sometimes, right?
Yeah, and people, all the time. She'll actually run down the hall. If I shut my office door before she comes, I'll hear her crying outside the door. So I'm like, oh, gosh. So before session,
she really wants to work.
I'll have to go get her because she feels like this is her real job. I'll even be like, let's go to work.
Yeah.
Let's go to work.
She gets paid in food and treats and playing.
Yeah.
She's a good dog.
She's a good dog. She is a good dog.
She really is. So Erin has an entire farm. I've seen all your animals. They are all gorgeous. Yeah. I saw the chickens and ducks.
Yeah. And I think I posted a couple on our Instagram page. I try to share a little bit of me too. So I'm like, all right, let me just post some funny stuff if it might be relevant.
Yeah, I loved it. If you guys haven't seen it, go check it out. She does a good post on self-care and kind of just saying, like, this is how I do self-care. So go check that out if you can, because it's really, you get to see her really great backyard. She's got some gardens and like nice.
Oh, thanks.
You know, it's really pretty. So go check it out to get your self-care if you need a little break. That's a nice little visual candy there.
But
yeah. So,
yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
And I'm glad we're both animal people. And I'm curious to know if our viewers are too, what type of animals they have, if they have any, or what they grew up with.
If you all want to share pictures anytime, just send them to us. We are more than happy to see.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah. That's something we love.
Absolutely. Should we go to the next one? The next question?
Yeah. Let's look at the next
one. Okay. So the next one that we have that keeps coming up is, how did we come up with the name Wicked Psychotherapist? What is the origin? And are we witches? Are we fraud? You know, what, you know, I've heard different things. So it'd be kind of fun to hear us both talk about it, like why we came up with it.
We kind of went back and forth. We actually originally had a different name for the podcast first. Coffee Cream and Counseling. Yeah. And we were like, that's not really working. And so we were brainstorming, and psychotherapists, because we are psychotherapists, and it's not a name that's commonly used. And we thought, okay, you know, it's a distinction between a camp counselor or a legal counsel, or like a physical therapist, occupational therapist. Like, psychotherapist is of the mind, and that's what we do. So that was good. And then the wicked part was a little bit of a double entendre there. We were playing on it because we're both originally from New England, which, if you don't know this, we often use wicked to say very to an extreme, right? We'll say like, that's wicked, wicked hard, or that's wicked, you know,
wicked awesome. Yeah.
Wicked awesome. Yeah. You know, like, that's wicked idea, you know, kind of thing. It's just part of our vocabulary. I've always used that. And I actually just always thought it was a word that meant very, you know, I didn't really know.
It does. It's like, oh, look at that. It's wicked. You know, any Adam Sandler stuff, you'll always hear him be like, oh, the wicked, you know, like.
Yeah.
But it is.
He does like to use.
It is very much associated, though, with anything New England. And since we are from New England, we thought it would be really fun to add it somehow. Also, we do like things spooky and witchy and Halloween and things like that as well. So it goes both ways.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, we're not practicing witches or anything. I appreciate all the pagan holidays and things like that. And I do like to read up about them and maybe even do a little kind of thing here and there. That sounds cool, but I would not say I am practicing anything, but I think it's cool, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of the things, and we all love kind of spooky things year round. In terms of it just being, that's the vibe, autumn and the feel of that season, right?
I can't get enough of Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's a classic. Ooh, and it's coming up soon. We're in August. It's coming up. I feel it. We're gonna have to do some spooky episodes. If you all have any ideas for that, I know we have a couple we've already discussed, but we would love to hear if you have any spooky recommendations. And we're not talking like gory, we're talking about just you know, maybe fun
origin
things that relate to
mental health.
Yeah.
Mental health or psychology
Yeah.
Just trying to.
But anything you all would be interested in So yeah, so that's the origin of the name. I believe Erin, I think you came up with it. Like you were the one that kind of pieced it together. I think you were kind of spitballing.
Yeah, because we kept thinking of different things and we were playing around for a little bit because we both were like, I am not loving the coffee ones. What if we're not drinking coffee one day? What if we want to drink water? We just started to really like overanalyze that portion of it. And then
as psychotherapists would do. Yeah.
Yes, we overanalyze so much that you start to really despise whatever it is that you're analyzing. But we're really happy with the name that we chose. And it's fun.
Yeah, I love it.
We were able to get like a really fun logo because of it. Yeah. It just seems like it just really works really well for us. Yeah. Who we are.
We think so. But let us know, you know, what you think. But I mean, we're happy with it. So just so you guys know, the ones that I've been asking about common question.
So I have another question. So where are you from? And if you want to talk about any of your family, siblings, or growing up, anything you want to share about that?
Sure. Well, I am originally from Western Massachusetts, which is the forgotten part of Massachusetts. It is not near Boston. It is not near Worcester. It is very much on the western part. People think it's all farmland, which a lot of it is, but I didn't grow up in farmland. Very much just towns and everything. But sibling-wise, I grew up with four older sisters, so I am the youngest. I also have a half-older brother who is the oldest that we had, you know, kind of unique circumstances in finding out that we had a half-brother, but it's amazing. So that was kind of the, you know, how my family was, family of origin. Right now, I have a husband. I don't have children, but like I said, Lucy is my baby. And that's our child. So yeah, that's how we are now. And I still live in Western Mass. I have traveled and lived in other places, but like I've been to, you know, I lived in Florida. I lived in South Korea, but I came back. I think I just felt more like I related to the people culturally around there. I missed the seasons, the four seasons, because I was living in Florida and I could not take the heat. I am not a heat person. I prefer fall and winter any day, but I just was not into the Florida scene after a while. For me, it just was not a mesh. It wasn't something I was feeling anymore, kind of, you know, related. It was fun while I was there, but then I kind of just felt like there's something that I don't feel I'm relating to.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know,
that makes sense.
Culturally, and the seasons just were not going right. So
yeah, you would not like it right now, the 106 degrees.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't step foot outside. I'm a New England girl through and through. Like I can't get away from it. Yeah. You'll never hear me complaining about, oh my God, we have too much snow. I'll be like, we have a lot of snow, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. But to kind of round this out, let's hear about your, you know, where you're from, your siblings growing up, your family.
Okay. So I'm originally from New England. I think a third generation Rhode Island, New England person. So I'm from Rhode Island. My dad's from Boston. So it's funny you say Worcester too, because I have a lot of family there too. I'm like very stereotypical Boston, Worcester, you know, Rhode Island. My siblings, I grew up with two brothers and a sister. My sister passed away in 2017. So I was the youngest of four. And I have one brother who's 10 years older, one who's seven, and they're both scattered. Everyone seems to move back to New England, move away. And I live in Florida. I have a father. My mom passed away when I was younger, when I was in my 20s. My dad, I convinced him to move to Florida. So he's in Florida. Also, he moved here a bit ago. He's a beach guy. So that's what he instilled is New England. We in Rhode Island, it's all like you live like 5 minutes from the water, pretty much anywhere you live. And yeah. So we're all about beach, except I like to look at it. I'm not really big on sitting in the sun. I've never been that person. But here I have two children and a husband. We actually celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary the other week. And
oh, wow.
And we've been together for 27 years because we dated a while before. So I am old. And
wow.
So yeah, that's
amazing.
Yeah, so that is me. I chose Florida. I'd never been to Florida. My father had been. I know my dad and his brother used to go a lot, and they'd always talk about it. And my husband was moving here when we first started dating.
I just thought it would be fun to try something new. And I like it. I actually discovered I like the heat, which is very different than being raised and growing up in Rhode Island and New England. So, I mean, I miss it. I miss New England, but I don't.
I was just going to ask, do you miss it? Like, but you don't want to move back at some point.
Right. Like whenever I visit, I'm like, oh gosh, I miss it because I visit at the perfect time. I'll visit in October or summer. I do miss the crisp fall in the summer. There's nothing better than New England for that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's definitely going to be some trade-offs, but it sounds like we're both happy where we ended up and, you know, but we still have love for where we come from.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we have fun answering these questions and we hope to continue to do it. So, if you have any more, keep sending them. And maybe we'll do another one. Let us know what you thought of this.
I'm really glad that people actually filled out the, you know, when we put the, hey, does anyone have any Q&A? It's kind of fun to actually get responses. So we do read them. So thank you.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to wrap up. And please don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We're at Wicked Psychotherapist and subscribe and write us a review. It really helps us a lot.
Yeah, please. And don't forget, stay wicked.
And keep your mind well.
All right. Take care, guys.
Okay. Bye.
See you next time. Bye-bye.